G'day gang, and welcome back to another episode of Upcoming Attractions, our first episode with the whole gang here since I fell off the place of the earth. So with me as always, with me for the first time in a while actually, my co-host, Adie, how you doing?
Hey everyone, I'm doing great. It's good to be back.
Yes, it's so great to be back. And Jesse, how are you?
Good, Maddie. It's great to be back. Great to be cracking at it again, reviewing more movies.
Yeah, let's smash into it. Just a reminder to everyone at home, I sort of mentioned this in the previous one, but we're switching things up slightly. And I mean very slightly. The original plan was a big switch up, and then we're like, no, it's a little bit. But if you're listening to us at home, it's going to be the same as always on your Spotify, Apple, whatever. On YouTube, you're going to get more targeted things, and it'll be a bit more separated. If you're following us on TikTok and Instagram Reels and all that, things will be as normal. Just you lucky listeners in the podcast, listen to the audio version, are going to hear a few extra little bits and pieces there. So you guys, you're lucky. You're the chosen people. So let's kick things off by bringing back a segment, what we've been watching, and just off air, we all realize there's one thing we've all been watching together, and that's House of the Dragon. Just before we go around and get deep into it, let's have a talk. But I just want to get what are your overall thoughts and impressions so far? Currently, we're up to episode, what is it now? Is it
the finale? I think it's already
actually
aired.
Today. It just aired today. I haven't watched it yet, though.
But we haven't watched it.
Oh shit! Fuck! We should have recorded this tomorrow. Okay.
It's okay.
And is everyone up to date?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not. I'm behind a couple episodes, and
right.
I want to say why, and then maybe I'll get your reactions on
no
it,
excuses,
and then we can talk
Matt.
About it.
No excuses.
Here's my I think I have a decent excuse, okay? The reason I'm a little bit behind on House of the Dragon is I started watching it, and I'm enjoying it so far. Yes, there's a bit of a time skip between the first episode and second, but that's fine. And then I start falling in love with these characters, especially, is it Rhaenyra, the blonde girl? Is that her name?
Rhaenyra's?
Yeah. Oh, Rhaenyra. Okay, yep. And then there's a 6-year, I think, time jump, and they change the actor who plays her.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, my love for the show has just dwindled a lot because I loved that actress. I thought she was so charismatic, and I feel like my love for the show is lost a little bit. Am I the only one who feels this way? Or?
No, it's and it is Rhaenyra, by the way. I was thinking of Daenerys.
That's what I thought. Maybe it's a Game of Thrones thing. I don't know.
The first actress was amazing. And I thought that her chemistry, just with the whole cast, was on a different level.
Yes.
That's it for me. Still love the new actress. She's wonderful. But I don't know. It's a bit of a fire has been lost. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like they're both, the first one was very bright and bubbly and a bit more outgoing. The second actor's a lot more, Emma Darcy's a lot more drawn back and reserved and more, I guess, mature. I mean, I guess that goes with age.
But yeah.
That's very slightly different, I found.
Personally. Yeah, I agree. It makes sense for the character, but just as an audience member, I spent, I think, 6 or 7 episodes falling in love with this character, and now you've just taken her away from me and I've got to meet this new character. Sure, it's the same character technically, but when it's played by a new actor, we've seen recastings before, it affects the experience. And for me, it really took a lot out of the show for me. So I've been struggling to stay on board, but I'm excited for finale.
I heard it got leaked and I somehow managed to avoid it. I don't know if you guys have seen anything. Clearly not, because no one's reacting to that. But on that point, this is the only thing. This is a phenomenal show. It's so well written. It's so well done. Acting's great. But the only difference is by the end of season 1 of Game of Thrones, I think I was more emotionally invested and screwed from that point on because I was so attached to everyone. Whereas in this one, there's some sort of a bit of a separation.
And
I don't know.
I agree. And
yeah.
I think part of it is we've had in the first season, we've already had two time jumps. I feel like in the first episode too, when we're meeting the queen, like we're meeting this character and she's really great. And then like, spoilers, she dies at the end of the episode. Mm. And I feel like I wasted, like sure it sets up the show, but it's like, it kind of feels like Ned Stark all over again, you know? I fall in love with this character. I'm getting to meet him. Then I lose him. And I remember going to Game of Thrones season two. Part of me was like, am I still going to like this show? Because I've lost my focus. And turns out, yeah, luckily there's a lot of other great characters. But I feel like in House of the Dragon, there's less variety as well, because instead of having all these different kingdoms and focusing on storylines, it's more like the one.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like they're, I don't know, they're kind of rushing to get through some stuff in a way.
Which makes no sense because it's not based on a book. So what are you rushing to get? Like,
what do you mean?
It is based on a
it
book.
Is based
oh, sorry.
On
oh, what?
It is. It is.
So
it
there is a book called House of the Dragon?
Yeah, and I've been told that apparently the author has been kept on set so meticulously, like he's barely allowed to leave while they're writing and making the episodes for fear of ruining it again.
It's Fire and Blood. It's not called House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So is it still George R. R. Martin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So he wrote two book series from the Game of Thrones universe.
More than that, I think.
Oh, so when all these fucking nerds are like, oh, when's Winds of Winter coming and all this shit?
It's
like,
thing.
Bitch, he's writing seven other books for you. Because everyone's always complaining that it takes too long to write. But if he's writing 10 book series, cut the guy some slack.
I think it's because it's his, you know, modus operandi, his main thing, and people are like, dude, it's been 12 years since you wrote your last book in the Selling Ice and Fire series, like what's going on? And then there's other people that are like saying he's gonna die before he finishes Selling Fire and Ice, and
just so rude. Like, come on, man.
I know. What the hell?
Apparently I've read, and I someone quote me if I'm wrong here, but I've read that he does not want anyone to finish the series if he does indeed pass before he finishes the main book series. I have read that somewhere. Don't know if it's true.
Yeah.
But
it's sad he even has to say that, right? Like,
I know.
Damn.
I was just really gonna quickly say that I did though have a moment where I did jump off of my couch and scream like, yes. And I feel like you guys, I don't know, you would know that moment. Maybe.
Are we talking about what I would say is House of the Dragon's answer to the Red Wedding?
Yes.
Yeah. I had to rewind that. Like, hold on, hold the fuck up. What?
I really hope that more of those moments keep coming, because that's what will get me with whatever this weird like fog that I can't fully connect to the characters yet is there. If those moments are coming out now, I have faith for it in the future and future seasons to come. But my God, when Princess Rhaenys like had the dragon come in and storm the crowning ceremony.
Matt, do you already know about this?
Because
I know you're
not
up to date.
Did I just ruin something?
Wait.
No, this happened in the latest episodes. So.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen
it. Was it? I thought it was two episodes ago.
No.
Okay, so when you said the yes moment, I thought you were talking, is this a good sign for the show?
I was adding on just then to it. And then
okay,
I remembered.
Because I'm thinking of there was a wedding before the time jump where like I think two people died and they start revealing their.
So
okay, well, it's good to know I've got something to look forward to. That's good.
Crispy smashed
that's
guy's face in. And
yeah.
So Crispy doesn't age.
And And what's his name? The king dude. What is his name?
What do you mean?
The dad.
Oh, Viserys.
Viserys. Like he. I thought he was. I thought he died in that episode. And the next episode, he was like fine. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. That was a big episode.
He aged fucking terribly in that show.
He did.
Compared to everyone else, like he aged terribly. Dude, what happened?
I saw a meme, and it was like the picture of his pop vinyl, and they're like, you're going to have to set fire to this little bit by little bit every episode for it to look more accurate to his character, like melt it down.
It reminds me of those Obama memes where it's like, at the start of his presidency, at the end of his presidency, yeah. and he's just so much older and just gray hair and oh fuck.
Oh my god, so accurate, man. Not a good run.
We had a quick Adrienne sort of said her overall thoughts and stuff, and I guess I've touched on it, but like, Jesse, I'm just curious for you, like, what are your overall thoughts so far in House of the Dragon?
Yeah, I'm really, really digging it, really enjoying it. It kind of reminded me of the first four seasons of Game of Thrones when the writing was really solid and based on source material, not just like, hey, we're going to try and go in this direction. I mean, we're not going to wait for George R. R. Martin. We're just going to, you know. And you could tell, like, there's like a it detracts when you're watching the show or whatever. But this is really solid. The only thing that's kind of, I wouldn't say bugging me, but it takes you a little bit out of the show is the consistent time jumps where people are just constantly getting older and there's just a new actor like every 2-3 episodes. I know it's going to stop now because they're all basically adults besides the their children, but it just kind of took me a little bit out of it.
I'm sort of there thinking like, what's the point? Like, even if it was how the books were, like, just stretch it out or something. Because, yeah, man, like, I feel like it's – here's what I used to say this about Walking Dead, right? They used to kill the characters so regularly. I'd be like, why should I bother watching this show? Yeah. Because every time I like a character, you just kill them off. And it's not like – it's not this reaction where they're like, ooh, isn't this edgy and cool how we killed off your character? It's like, no, you're giving me less reasons to watch the show because you're taking away the things I like about it. And Game of Thrones had a big reputation for killing off characters, but the thing is those characters stayed around for a while, you know?
Yeah.
They stayed around for a while. When they died, like, they often weren't like Jon Snow was in all seasons.
Tyrion,
Daenerys, a lot of like the main favorites stayed throughout. You know, well, it was mostly side characters.
I love
how same thing with this aging up. Like when we lose cast members, it's the same feeling.
I'll always love how at the start, Viserys is like, we've got to find you a good match, a good suitor. And then like the most recent episodes, it's just like, just marry cousins. You get a cousin. You get a cousin. You get a cousin.
Everybody gets a cousin.
Yeah.
I do want to highlight Matt Smith. Wow, he's killing it.
He's so good.
He's amazing. He's awesome. It's definitely a step up from Morbius. I'll say that much.
I forgot that he was in that until you said that.
Which, let's be honest, he was the best thing about that movie.
That's not saying much, but still.
Yes. He's good at everything he does. Like, he's a scene stealer always. I thought for some reason he had prosthetics on his face because of how, I don't know, he just looks so different to me in this. And I know that it's because he's super blonde and stuff, but I Googled it. I was like, is he wearing prosthetics or like what's going on here?
I think the hair is definitely, it changes a lot about how his face is shaped and framed and. And yeah, and I'm sure it's a wig, but
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He started out so evil and disgusting, and I hate him, and he still technically is, but now I'm sort of rooting for him.
Mm. Yeah. That's what I love about Game of Thrones as well. Yeah. The characters who they're in the gray zone. They're not totally good or totally bad. They're just kind of gray. They do, you know, shitty stuff, and then you're like, oh no, that's redeeming them a bit, and. So, yeah, no, he's a good character and, yeah, no, I'm loving the series right now. So I was actually going to watch it while I was working, possibly, in the last episode. I need to know what happens. So, it's great. So,
Been there. So I think we're all in agreement. Correct me if I'm wrong. We definitely think this is better than Game of Thrones Season 8.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Any other thoughts or comments about House of the Dragon before we move on?
They need to age Sir Crispy, Christian Cole.
Sir Crispy.
He's Sir the only Crispy. One. I've read comments where it's like people are like, him holding a grudge has kept him kept him looking young and youthful.
That is
everyone's
so
like,
good.
What's his skincare routine? Like, they couldn't add like a fucking gray hair to his luscious locks or whatever.
That's That's a good point.
He's the only one that doesn't age.
Lol.
So crispy. So. Oh, man.
House the Dragon. So next time we'll do a recap on the finale, see where we're all at, and looking forward to season two. Before we move on, actually, just slightly on topic, slightly not, but are either of you watching the Lord of the Rings show, which came out around the same time?
No. Ada, you'd be watching it, wouldn't you?
You know what's weird? I was so pumped for that show. I was counting down the days, and on the day I texted my sister, who's the biggest Lord of the Rings geek, and I was like, oh,
even more than you?
No, she's colossal. Like she went, I think, like 6 months at least watching it once a day, and she only watches the extended versions. She has tattoos and Elvish and everything. She's full. She's amazing, right? And I don't know what happened. I was like, no, you know what? I'll just wait a couple weeks so I can watch a couple episodes. Whole season's pretty much gone now. I feel like the whole momentum has died, and I keep seeing really horrible things about it, which I don't want to influence me. But maybe now that House of the Dragon is done and I'll be empty and hollow inside, I will give it a go.
Yeah, I tried watching it, but like 10 minutes into the first episode, and the production design obviously amazing. You can see the budget's really well spent. But very early on, I just watched them like, oh, that's right. I'm not really into fantasy, am I?
Oh, no.
Game of Thrones was the exception. Like, it's kind of like we're seeing like these dwarves and all these other mythical creatures and these fantasy lands. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I prefer sci-fi.
And I'm the total opposite. Yeah. I would always prefer fantasy over sci-fi, which is really interesting.
I don't know what it is. It never really connected with me. Even like I remember watching – I watched the original trilogy in the cinemas, but I remember like, I think it was during the Two Towers. I was just like, I know I should love this. Like, but why am I just like okay about it? And I don't understand why I don't love Lord of the Rings. I feel like it's got all the pieces there to make me obsessed with it.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I liked some of the video games and that's kind of it.
Oh, the
like,
video games are awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some type of therapy you can go to, because everything you just said was like, I know I should like this. I know I should be obsessed with this, but like, I'm not. Like, am I okay?
I need what do you call it? Tolkien therapy or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, God. Before we move on, are there any other like TV shows, just real quick, you guys have been watching that you think are worth recommending or checking out?
Yes.
The
Watcher. Is it The Watcher, Jesse?
Yes. I've watched a few of those episodes. I've watched a few episodes.
I think it just popped up the day it came out on my feed, and I haven't seen Naomi Watts in anything in a while, and I love Jennifer Coolidge, and the whole premise was real interesting. And I ended up watching, like, I think 6 or 7 episodes in one go. And that was a work night. I was okay. I'm getting a bit depressed now, and B, I need to get up early. So, but it was really good so far. It's been so amazing.
Yeah. I'm not like those like mystery domestic thriller type shows.
Yeah.
I'm very hit and miss with them. Also, I'm aware I'm not the target demographic, but like this one's pretty good, I would say. At times I'm feeling like it's a little unrealistic, but then I heard somewhere it's inspired by a true story.
Based on a true story. I did an article about it ages and ages ago, like months and months ago, and I actually researched the actual incident. I can't remember many details about it, but I actually researched what actually happened, who was stalking them and everything, and the couple, and so it's a real story.
Crazy.
I don't know how identical from what they depict in the show translates to what actually happened to real life, but it's based on a true story, yeah.
That's why I sort of want to research it after I watch it, because at the moment it's fully gripping me and I'm terrified, and then I'll find out what happened. Maybe.
I'm very sure it's been crazily exaggerated.
Yeah, sure, surely.
But I'm sure some things that like the dumb waiter or something is real or something like that. But yeah, shout out to Daily Mail. Jesse writing articles at the Daily Mail.
Yes.
Besides, what have I been watching? I've been watching Rick and Morty. There's a show. It's on I think Hulu in the States, and here we've got it in Disney Plus. I love myself a good comedy, a good single camera comedy. And there's a new show out that I'm kind of digging. It's called Reboot. Have either of you guys heard of it?
I've heard of that, but I haven't watched it.
It's good. I'm not going to say it's going to blow your mind, but look, this cast is pretty cool. It involves Keegan-Michael Key, yes. Johnny Knoxville, Callum Worthy, who I think did like some Nickelodeon stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
And there's Rachel Bloom and a whole bunch of others as well. But it's about back in the 90s, there was some sort of sitcom that these actors were a part of. And now they're coming back for like a reboot.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called Reboot. And it's kind of like, I guess, it's a little bit 30 Rock, but it's not as, like, the main character actually is major Tina Fey vibes.
Ooh, okay.
Her character vibes. But it's a little less quirky. It's a little bit more edgy than 30 Rock, I would say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love all that meta stuff. I love movies about making movies. So it's definitely up my alley. It thinks it's really smart. It's not as smart as it thinks it is, but it gets a few chuckles out of me. And the first episode has a great twist. So,
okay. It looks pretty appealing. So,
yeah, if you're looking for a good single camera comedy, I recommend it. I don't know if it's going to last 5 seasons and be the next Community or whatever. I wouldn't go that far. It's also by the co-creator of Modern Family. So if that pushes anybody anywhere. But yeah, that's pretty cool. And obviously I've been watching stuff like She-Hulk and stuff. Mm-hmm. Check out our other episodes. I recently did it's not out yet, but I did a special She-Hulk episode with special guest Carlos from Agents of Fandom. So check that out in the comments, guys. These guys don't – I barely told these guys that I did it, so they have no idea what I'm talking
about. No, that's the first time I've found out about it.
I said something in the group chat, but I figured you guys wouldn't be watching it, so yeah. Sorry. But look, let's move on. Let's talk about some movies we've been watching. We're in October. It's a spooktacular season. Yeah. Let's kick things off with Bodies, 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 which is getting so much of a rage. Let me open with a question. I literally just saw it last night.
Okay.
I haven't read anything online too much about it. I've heard some people call it a satire at Gen Z culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, am I crazy? But like, I'm here watching it. Like, yeah, it ends in a joke and jokes here and there. But I'm sitting here as a 31-year-old dude. Like, I don't know, man. This feels kind of accurate. Like, I'm on TikTok. Some people talk like this. Like, is this? Would you call this a satire? Is this accurate? Would you?
I think it's very. It's playing up the stereotypes of Gen Z to like max volume.
Because I see people call each other toxic and stuff all the time, and gaslighting and all these other buzzwords. And
I found them all to be, all the characters in this to be insufferable. They were just, I did not want to be around any of these people. And yeah. I started watching the movie and I was like, can someone just please kill off all of these characters? I just don't give a shit about any of them. They're all so fucking annoying. Like,
I think that's like part of the point.
I know that's the point of it. Like, they're supposed to. They've been written that way, but I still couldn't. I don't know. Is that a critique? Do you think? When you want every single character to just flop over dead?
I think that's the success of the writer's job right there, because the whole thing is a huge commentary on miscommunication with the new gen, because everything's through the phone. No one's actually saying how they feel. And then when they finally do, no one even believes it and they can't handle it, because you can't even really express a feeling without it being offensive, like in any regard or whatever. And then the whole thing's just explosive. And it's like, is this how people are gonna how they're becoming like right now. Like, is it really this insane? We have all of this stuff to help us communicate, but no one is actually doing it.
Mm. I remember, yeah. I remember that one character when she was like going on about her podcast, and then she was carrying on about. I was just sitting in my seat like this, just like.
It's like, oh no, they're talking about me. They're talking about my podcast. They haven't listened to it.
And can I just ask, say this? With Pete Davidson, do they just follow him around with a camera just in his everyday life?
I know, right? I know.
He just like acts like the same all the time. Yeah, man, I you know, snort cocaine and do drugs and I'm really
I think that was very intentional. I feel like he just speaks to the new, like Gen Z really look to Pete Davidson as in like, ah, he's like the first one of us to become famous. Like he captures that energy, that essence, or part of it, right? Like it's not the whole thing, but like there's an very strong element of that. And I think that's what they love about him in a way. Mm. And so when making a movie like this, it's like that's essential casting. That being said, the second I saw him on the poster, I said to my girlfriend, he's either going to be the first one to die or he's the killer. And then second he dies, I'm like, told you.
Told you. Because
he's the only name attached to the film. Yeah. That's how they write this. He's Drew Barrymore in Scream, you know?
True, hey. I thought the acting was insane. Those monologues were phenomenal. My jaw was on the floor. The performers were just unreal.
Yeah. Look, I feel like maybe I jumped too far ahead here, but let's get into overall thoughts because I do want to dig deep, but I don't want us to miss anything. So, AD, do you want to just kick off? Give me your overall general thoughts or if there's anything specific you want to tap into.
Sure. I only had watched the trailer once. I didn't even really read much about it. So the whole thing, I didn't even know it was an A24 movie, but as soon as the credits started rolling, I turned to my sister and said, this feels so A24. And then it was like an A24 production. I was like, fucking, we're in for an absolute treat. I love the pacing. I love the build. I loved the excessiveness of everything. The deaths were gross and really, the second that they killed the first innocent, which was the boyfriend who tagged along, that made me feel so sick to my stomach. But then it was still funny. Like as it went on, just how absurd this whole situation was. And I really respected the message and the way that he translated it through everything. You're correct. Every character was insufferable because he leaned into everything that a lot of people make fun of Gen Z for. And for me, like I can personally relate to the whole lack of communication as time goes on. I feel like, I don't know, it's everywhere. Everyone's on their phones 24/7, constantly talking, streaming this, that, blah, blah, blah. But I see it even with my sister and her friends, like being younger than me or having made new friends in my industry who are like 7 years younger than me. It is so different. And sometimes, yeah, it's a bit insufferable with the lack of, I don't know, people to be able to communicate to your face as easily. Like in a lot of situations I found myself in. So I really enjoyed that commentary and the twist for me. I was like, this was one of the most refreshing twists I have seen in a very long time. I really liked it.
You're talking about the
end. The very end.
Yeah. That caught me off guard.
Was that how Pete Davidson's character dies? Or I saw this movie a long time ago, so was that?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's set up to be.
Dumbass.
Yeah, just for TikTok.
It was, well, that's the thing, what I love about a great twist is like you start, the feeling you have when you start putting the pieces together once you learn that new information, where it's like, oh, hang on, this whodunit, which makes you think it's a slasher, isn't, because there's no killer at all. Like they've all killed each other based off a miscommunication.
What I thought was funny,
that was amazing
as well about that, right, was the whole thing would have been avoided if they had just checked his phone. Like, and that's usually the first thing that they would do is like be on their phone. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. No, that's great. What about you, Jesse? Anything to to add when it comes to overall thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was a bit lukewarm. I felt when it got towards the middle, it was starting to become a bit muddled, I just felt, and a little bit all over the place. And again, all the characters, I just could not I felt like it was hard for me to sit in my seat and listen to these characters talk, because I just didn't want to hear them say anything. I found them
so old, Jesse.
Annoying.
You're so old.
And I'm the youngest one here out of the three of us. And,
oh my God, that's true.
And I just found them so annoying. I mean, the main chick was fine. Like, she was all right. The one who they suspected was had killed Pete Davidson. And yes. Yeah. I didn't get
fucking
that impression.
Fucking Borat's daughter.
Yes. I thought Maria, she was fine, Bakalova. Yeah.
But the rest of them, I just thought, and then it's like, you cheated and you did this and you didn't like my photo or you didn't comment or yeah, like, oh my God. Like, and I get that's the main purpose of it, but I just found it so, but no, it like,
that's
it's,
fair.
Not,
that's
it's
fair.
Not a bad movie. It's a good movie, but yeah, there's just some part, like when it got towards the middle, I was just getting a bit, getting a bit like, fuck, like I need a breather from these people. Like,
That's the problem when you have like a bottle episode in a way, when it's like characters set to one location, You're stuck with those characters. So if you don't like the characters, you're going in for a bumpy ride, I would say. As for me, man, the thing that took me, that's really the thing about Bodies, Bodies, Bodies that really got me was the directing. This director, I think it's Helena Rain. I think that's how you pronounce it. I got that wrong. I apologize. Incredible. I knew this was going to be a great film starting from when they get to the house and there's a shot underwater of like the couples there, and there's no there's barely any music, and it's just there for so long, and they just waited. It just made me realize, okay, a typical horror film aimed at teens, they would just have some trendy pop music playing.
Yeah.
They get to the house, they start talking straight away. Oh my God, did you like my podcast? Did you listen to did you like my picture? Whatever. But they didn't. They stayed with the characters. You just sat on them and then they eased you into it. So I'm like, all right, this is a choice. And then as the film goes on, like you start realizing like the star of the show, it's not the kills. It's not even it's not the kills. What's the star of the show are like these arguments. They just stay on these arguments and they're long. They go for minutes and minutes, like a typical Hollywood blockbuster or any film aimed at a younger audience. They would just cut to the next thing. And I know some people might say, well, it's a mature film. It's got blood. And I'm like, no, like when you have characters of this age and all these references and this music, there is an audience it's aiming for, and it is going for a younger audience. Just, I would say the same thing about Euphoria, for example. And this is basically, you know, these characters are very Euphoria, you know? But they're not treating it like a My Fisher Price, my first horror movie type thing.
Yeah.
They're staying with the characters. They're putting character first. They're doing long conversations. And the acting is just chef's kiss. Very believable performances. And that just blew me away. Shout outs to this movie, man. I really enjoyed Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. It just it was not what I expected. I actually went in knowing that like Gen Z vibes is a big thing, but I went in thinking this is going to be like a shitty film that Blumhouse would put out in January, you know? Like I'm trying to think like Fantasy Island or Trick or Treat. You guys remember that movie?
I remember, yes.
I'll talk about that later when we talk about Smile, but yeah, I went in with pretty low expectations and left very satisfied. This movie's fucking awesome. It slaps, as the kids would say.
Oh my goodness. No cap. No cap.
Oh God, I'm so old. any other thoughts or comments on bodies, bodies, bodies?
Nope.
All right. Let's move on. Bodies, bodies, bodies. Check it out if you haven't already. Or if you haven't already, we've spoiled it. So fucking deal with that shit.
Yeah.
Bitch. next up, let's talk about Smile. The reason why I mentioned so let's talk about Smile. The reason I mentioned Trick or Treat earlier is that film also had characters smiling because they were possessed with crappy Snapchat filters on their face. That was fucking garbage. But I like Smile. Jesse, what did you think of Smile? Did you like it?
Yeah, I really, really liked Smile. For such a like when you, because I saw the trailer for this, and when you had the concept of people like smiling at the camera like this, and you think, oh, this could be like really gimmicky.
Yeah, but that's what I thought.
The way it was written, it was done really, really well. I thought it was done really, really well. And I really enjoyed Smile. The only thing I would say was I didn't like the ending. I thought the ending was shit. But
Sorry.
You got to tell me because I don't think I'll watch it.
So basically she goes to I haven't seen this. I saw this movie like a month ago or something.
But oh wait, no. She goes, I remember the, now and I agree with
childhood,
you.
She goes to a childhood home and she sees her mother, like I guess it's the spirit of her mother or whatever, and her mother kind of transforms into like this giant
monster demon thing.
Monster thing. What? And is chasing her around the cabin, and then the policeman character, you know, drives to the house, and I just thought that ending sequence in the cabin was just really, and then she wakes up because it's a nightmare, but she's still at the house, and then the monster, doesn't the monster like eat her or something like that, or
does so the ending of Smile, this actually I lost it, but I remember my biggest criticism of Smile is the ending because – so the story is she's sort of dealing with her mother's death and this monster spirit demon thing sort of preys on people.
It's like a curse. So the closest thing I can compare it to would be something like The Ring. That would be the closest comparison,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I would think it's more like The Babadook meets – maybe it's more like The Ring. Yeah. I can think of It Follows the whole time, personally.
Happens, though? Like, what's the actual premise?
I got it right in front of me on Wikipedia.
I already know what happens. She works as a
psychic. I mean as in, like, what makes the smile happen, sort of? Like, what's
It's just the thing that the demon curse thing does before the character, before the person that's possessed dies, because they transfer the curse onto the witness of – because they kill themselves basically,
The witness who witnesses the suicide then becomes infected, or the curse transfers to them from witnessing a suicide. The themes is talking about trauma. It's talking about depression and how like violence sort of like is infectious and how it affects other people, which is really powerful stuff. But I think what Jesse's alluding to is, the problem with the ending of Smile is there's this amazing character work. She sort of comes to terms with the loss of her mother. She learns to sort of accept what's going on. And then it has this beautiful ending. But then the movie goes on for another 10 minutes. Mm. And what happens is you find out that was all hallucination caused by the demon. And then the demon kills her. And it just feels like this studio mandated ending where it's like, no, you've got to end on a scare. You got to end on a kill. So, you know, all that character work you did, you can leave it in, but we need you to like do a reshoot and add in a scare at the end, which is, it undoes all the amazing writing and character work. The whole film is set up.
Okay.
So it gives you a great film. And then you got this extra 10 minutes that ruins it all at the end.
And it kind of subtracted the whole, the whole build-up. And you wanted to see the curse be broken because the whole curse is predicated on the fact that someone is witnessing someone else committing suicide. And I was thinking, what are they going to do? Because she's in this cabin by herself. There's no witness. Will the demon or curse still kill her because there's no one else to transfer the curse onto when she kills herself? So what are they going to do here? And then, like, the very last minute, they bring the cop back in and he breaks into the cabin and watches the main character light herself on fire. And it just felt cheap. And I agree.
It's probably because the studio was like, well, this looks like a good film. We want to do a sequel, so you got to set up a sequel. So have a witness, see her die, and then boom, yeah, Smile 2 comes out. Smile 2, still smiling. Coming to cinemas. Smile 2, Pearly Whites.
Oh my God. Smile 3, I hope it's not called that. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend.
But disregarding the ending, though, I still thought it was a very good movie. I really enjoyed it.
I heard good things about it from most people.
Fantastic horror film. Yeah, no, I really, really liked it.
I went in with super low expectations and they, just like Bodies, 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 I went in with really low expectations and left pleasantly surprised. It was a really great, Smile is a really great film. It just.
Just the ending. That's literally
the ending. some really great performances as well. And yeah. The way they dive into some of the themes, it has nuance to it. It has, like, there's depth to this movie. It's not like a cheesy slasher flick or anything. Cool. Any other thoughts on Smile before we move on?
No, but I'd be open to a sequel because it is a very cool concept. And it was not as gimmicky as I thought it was going to be. So
I would be open to a sequel. I'm just wonder how do you do one without it getting generic? Like, I feel like
they got to find a way to stop the curse, but they need to have a scene where the person that's cursed is by themselves for more than a week. You know, like what happens in that scenario? They don't address that in the movie. So
I think there's a lot of opportunity on how to like fight the curse, but I wonder if the themes and all that, like, actually, no. There's more stuff you can dive into there. So
yeah.
Look, guys, let's move on. We can do maybe let's cover one more film. 80 scene. Look, it just came out, so I might just quickly talk about Halloween Ends, if that's cool.
Of course,
because I know you guys haven't seen it, and we're coming up to Halloween, so let's
Evil
get Halloween
dies tonight.
Yes, it does. But is it entertaining? The answer is kind of. So, guys, I'll try not to spoil too much. Actually, do you care about spoilers or anything?
I already know what happens, so.
Tell us how you really feel, Matt. You just tell us.
So Halloween, okay, so as everyone should know, the first of this rebooted trilogy, Halloween 1, incredible, amazing, one of the best modern slashers ever. Halloween Kills, abysmal, terrible, cringy, pretty fucking bad. Halloween Ends, it's better than Halloween Kills. It's just, it's not what the fans are looking for, I would say. And it's all right, I think. So here's the gist of what Halloween Ends is about. On the night that Michael Myers killed all his people, there was a kid who accidentally killed a child who's babysitting.
It wasn't on the night that Michael Myers killed. Oh, you mean for the.
Oh, sorry, on Halloween 2019, it says.
Yeah.
So he kills this kid, and maybe Halloween was in 2018. Doesn't matter. And either way, so basically, once they deal with Michael Myers, the town finds its new boogeyman, which is this kid. And he doesn't go to jail because it was an accident, but the town sort of blames him and he's like really just ostracized by the community and deals with a lot of crap. And then he meets Laurie's granddaughter, who's like the daughter of the woman who fought Michael Myers, and the town sort of blames Laurie for bringing Michael Myers to the town. And so they have this relationship that develops and it's got some good character work. It becomes like this little bit of a, I don't know, Romeo and Juliet love story type thing. But what happens
is... weird for a Halloween movie. You'd never suspect. Yeah, they have like a little romantic subplot in there in the Halloween movie.
And throughout the whole film, you're like, well, where's Michael Myers? How does he tie into this, you know? So because you don't see Michael Myers until maybe 40 minutes, maybe 60 minutes into the film. You pretty much don't see him at all. And then the way you see him is like this kid sort of finds him in the sewer, and it's like Michael starts – it's very like implied. You don't see a lot. But it seems like either Michael is training him to kill people, or it's more like he's bringing dead bodies to Michael Myers to kill, and that's like sort of healing him or bringing Michael back to life. And it also seems to affect the kid in a way. And as it goes on, like Laurie's like, I see Michael's eyes in him. He's evil. And then at the end of the film, towards the end, he starts killing more and more people. He puts on the Michael Myers mask. He goes to Michael. He fights him, grabs the mask off and puts it on. He's like, I'm the killer now. And he just tries to kill Laurie and all his other shit. And so if the movie ended like that, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. The movie Halloween Ends is about how Laurie's going to deal with like this copycat. And there are a lot of themes of how like this, how violence and evil influences others and like sort of infectious, how it can affect a community. But then after like he dies, Michael Myers just walks into the room, picks up his mask and fights Laurie again. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? So this whole time it's been like, oh, okay. It's like the memory of Michael has inspired this copycat. It's like, no, Michael was actually there teaching this kid to be a killer, I guess.
What?
Like, I don't know. Maybe I just don't get it. Maybe I'm dumb, but it's kind of fucking weird. And so Michael's only really in it for like 20 minutes. And he fights Laurie in the kitchen and they finally get him. And then when he dies, they parade his body around the town so everyone can see it. And you're like, this is, you don't have to be scared of the boogeyman anymore. He's gone. But it's kind of like, what the fuck is this movie about? It kind of feels like they want to tell the story about legacy and how violence sort of breeds more violence and how it affects people. And so they have this like interesting story about like this guy is inspired by Michael Myers. But then they're like, oh, wait, crap, it's the end of a trilogy. We need Michael Myers to be in it. Otherwise, the fans will be disappointed. We need Laurie to fight him. So they just slapped it on at the end.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's kind of like, what the fuck is this movie even about? It's really interesting because Halloween Ends and Halloween Kills, the filmmakers trying to be like, well, we don't want to do the same thing again. We don't want to just copy and paste Halloween. So they try and bring in these new elements, but none of them work, man. Like, they're just...
So I've heard very mixed things about Halloween Ends. I've heard some people really enjoyed it because they liked the fact that that Michael was almost handing over the mask and everything to a new killer to take the reins, I guess, and he was going to die. And people were saying that was a good concept, but then other people said it just didn't sit right because Michael wasn't in it. And I haven't seen the movie, but that's just what I've been reading. So it seems to be a bit of...
I would be okay with it if Michael was actually dead and it's like this guy was inspired by him and it's sort of like about maybe at the end he learned some lesson about how, you know, being a cop... Or maybe, you know, Laurie still kills him, but it's like... trying to be like, this is not an idol you should look up to, you know? But I think the film is also trying to show like the kid gets bullied a lot. And so it's kind of like, maybe they were trying to be like, this is how you create a school shooter, you know, when you treat people badly or something. So like, I feel like there's an idea there that's cool and it kind of works, but also it's like people came to see Michael Myers and you're not giving it to us as much. So it's a bit disappointing. It just reminds me of, there was one of the, Friday the 13th movies that did that with Jason, where it's like Jason traveled from body to body and there was no mask in it and stuff. And it's kind of, and people hated that. So it's like, if people came to see Michael Myers and he's in all the posters and stuff, just give us Michael Myers, man. Just give us what we're paid to see, you know? It's like, yeah, I don't know. It is what it is. So long to that franchise.
I will come back.
It'll come back.
It'll come back in like 4 years. There'll be
just
a new
like
one.
Michael Myers. It'll come back. Yeah. keen to see what happens there, I guess. But
if you were going to give it out of like a 5-star scale rating, what would you give it?
I'd give it maybe I'm a pretty generous reviewer. I guess. Okay. I'd give it like maybe a 2.5 because.
Do you know what the best? Yeah. You know the best thing will be if they bring back that franchise, which they inevitably will, was that they can have they have the chance again to say evil dies tonight, or the evil will die, or we must stop the evil, or any sort of amalgamation of the word evil.
Evil dies tonight. He does not go on a vacation. Evil goes away.
I was talking to a friend of mine.
Evil and passes away.
She was going to go see Halloween Ends, and I was like to her, well, is the evil actually going to die tonight? Huh?
Yeah. Evil for ends for
this
now.
Time.
Evil ends for now. I like that one.
Evil ends for now. Anyways, guys, that's it for us today at Upcoming Attractions. Thank you for joining us. We have so many other films to review, lots of great stuff coming out. So make sure you hang out. If you like listening to us, check us out on Spotify and Apple iTunes and all your other favorite podcast apps. Be sure to follow us on TikTok and Instagram to get all the reels and clips and see us laughing about. And make sure you subscribe to us at YouTube. We've got a milestone in mind. Help us hit it. We need them subscribers for us to be cool people. So help us be cool people. Anyways, we're going to try and bring Upcoming Attractions in as big way as we can. Maybe we can get some more guests on. Maybe we can finally do interviews. That would be
amazing.
It's what we did at the old version of the podcast, but I just want to get us out there a little bit more. So please spread the word and follow us on social media, and we'd really appreciate your support. Anyways, that's it for us this week. I'm Matt, that's 80, and Jesse. And until next time, laters.